You may be seated. Hallelujah. Father God, I just thank you right now that you are getting ready to speak to us on the service. And I just pray, God, that you would keep ministering and changing lives, and that, God, we would know you more and more intimately as the service goes on. In Jesus' name we pray. Everyone says, amen. Amen. Aren't you glad to be in the house of the Lord this morning? Amen. Amen. Pastor Shannon was like, hey, could you do announcements? I'm like, sure. I'll do some announcements. But one of the ways, yeah, and if you're a new guest here, I just welcome you to be in the house. And if you want to fill out a Connect card, we would love to connect with you. So make sure you fill those out and you put those in the bin in the back, because we would love to get to know you and allow you to become a part of Oceans United. And we can't do that if we don't know you and if we're not able to connect with you. So just make sure that you get connected, because we would like to be your family. Also, if you'd like to give, you can give in multitudes of ways. You can go on to oceans.com. You can text to give, and you can also give cold hard cash. we still got all the ways that you could give, but you will see there's nobody coming around with a bin. There's nobody walking aisle to aisle. We want you to give to the Lord what you feel God wants you to give. And one of those ways is you can do that on the way out. We have a bin in the very back that you can drop your tithes or your offerings. But how many know that we can't do things without your willingness to give? So just feel what God wants you to give and give from that place. Also, we have a Splash Squad basketball team. And I heard there was a promise that there's supposed to be three dubs. Three. We're supposed to win three games this week. I saw it on the Facebook message. So I'm expecting three wins, guys. So if you want to be a part of that or come out to see that, that is at 5:30 at the middle school today. So if you're not doing nothing, you want to watch some old men, some young men, some people playing some basketball, and not necessarily get, and you want to have a good time, and you want to see some people maybe get hurt, and volleyball. We have volleyball at 3 p.m. at the high school. So make sure that you can come out. So we got some volleyball, got some basketball today. And then last but not least, but we have a Christmas banquet. Anybody playing Christmas music already? I know some people are like, I don't know. But like for me and my wife, we've been playing it since November 1st. And we've just been whistling Christmas music and just getting in that feel. I know some people put their trees up the day before Christmas, and then they burn it the next day. But for us, I think I could put a Christmas tree up all year round and probably decorate it to each theme, and it just becomes a part of the house. So if you're with me, you know how it is. But yeah, too soon. Yeah, December 17th starts at 6 p.m. Come out and come join us. We would be glad to have you. But the message of the week is frequency. And I believe that God is wanting to speak to us and dial up our frequency to get to know him better and so we can hear his voice. How many of you just remember the message last week when Pastor said he dared us, speak, Lord? How many of us sat there this week and we just thought of that while we were praying? You know how we go through our prayers, like, Lord, I need this. I want you to do this. I want you to do this. How many of us actually said, speak, Lord, and just sat there and waited? Speak. And I believe that I'm daring God, speak this morning. I believe he's going to speak some mysteries of our hearts. Can we welcome Pastor as he comes up?
Well, before we start, I know this is going to bug me. It's behind me, but it's going to bug me. So I'm going to toss it in front of me. Probably need to pick it up because it's going to bug me there too. I'm recovering. Thank you, Jesus. Help me. Well, hallelujah. Good to see so many happy faces here this morning. And if you got your Bibles, I want you to turn with me to the book of 1 Kings, chapter 19. Today is part 2 of our series, Frequency. And we're not talking about any kind of frequency. We're talking about the frequency of God's voice. The frequency of God's voice. And by the way, thank you for those many texts that I got this week from so many people. And I've selected a few just to read and to let you know a little bit of some of the content of our conversation, even beyond a Sunday message. You know, it never stops on a Sunday when you get done with a message. It always carries on throughout the week. I don't know if it is the same for you, but for me, certainly, when God is speaking something, it seems like this frequency resonates throughout the week. You hear a word here, and then you hear that same word again through somebody else or on the radio station, or something resonates what you've heard here in church. So a couple of texts that I got this week was, I'm going to read one of them to you, a couple of them. It says, "Gee, Pastor, thanks." That didn't sound very great. Now my husband won't shut up about getting a new TV and a sound system. So if you were here last week, you know a little bit of what I'm talking about. And then I got another one. "Thank you, Pastor. You have answered my prayers." I believe that was the husband replying. And then I got this picture from someone. I looked at that for a little bit, and then I had to explain that this morning to the sound team in the back there. None of them actually understood. I mean, a few of them knew what they were. I mean, these are called VHS tapes. Okay, if some of you don't, like, what are we talking about here? Well, these are the tapes that you put in, and there's an actual tape inside. Anyway, just Google it and, you know, look up some stuff online. And it came with this message, that picture came with a message. "Pastor, what is this 4K stuff that you're talking about?" And I don't know, friend, if you're here this morning or if you're watching online, God speaks in 4K as well as VHS, okay? The range of frequency has no limits and no bound. But just FYI, God's image is much sharper in 4K. Okay? So, and God's voice is much clearer in Dolby. So you can actually hear him and see him better with the right equipment. So God's frequency knows no bounds and no limits. I've got a video I want to show you. First, I want to warn you. It's kind of loud. Okay. It was recorded in the morning of August 27, 1883. That's a while back, right? Anybody around during that time? It was a while back. It was during a volcanic eruption of a volcano in Indonesia, the island of Krakatoa. Anybody knows what I'm talking about? Those, yeah, John knows that. John was around during that time. No, John was. It was in August 27, 1883, and it was one of the loudest sound ever recorded. Now, this probably doesn't do it justice. It was 310 decibel. This is how high, how loud that was. It is said that it was loud enough that the sound wave traveled the globe at least 4 times. That loud. And it was loud enough that it was heard miles from the point of eruption. But on the other side of the world, Even though they could not hear the physical sound, the sound wave itself carried all the way through. So much so that in Colombia, during that same time, there was a spike in atmospheric pressure. So much so that people were getting dizzy. Sailors in the ocean, that sound wave carried so far in and so loud, I mean, as far as frequency, not loud in terms of what we can hear, the frequency was so great that eardrums of those sailors ruptured. Although they could not hear the sound, the point I'm making here this morning is just because you cannot hear a sound doesn't mean it doesn't exist. Just because you don't hear it doesn't mean that it is not there. And it is the same concerning the voice of God. The frequency of his voice has no range or no measurable limit. You can't say you can hear God's voice this way or within this range of frequency and not in this one. God's got a multitude of ways to reach his people. Okay? So, he speaks through his word. We know this. Next week we're going to talk a little bit more about this. God speaks through his word, and he speaks through circumstances, through people that he brings in into your path, through situations in life. And God will use those to speak to us. God can use a loud, audible voice. God has got an outside voice, and he's not afraid to use it. Some of us might call it a 2x4. A 2x4 that would hit you right between the eyes. But sometimes when God wants to speak to us directly, when he wants to be heard, when he wants to deposit something in our spirit that only us and no one else but us can hear, he whispers. When he wants to drop something in our spirit that he wants only us to hear, he whispers. Because he wants that frequency to hit you right here, where you will be able to hear his voice. Low enough, so that you can hear his voice. The focus of our message this morning is the whisper of God's voice. In 1 Kings chapter 19, we read this story, a beautiful story of Elijah. Beautiful in the sense that it paints a picture of what it means to hear the voice of God. And in verse 1 it says, when Ahab was the king at the time. When Ahab got home, he told Jezebel everything Elijah had done, including the way he had killed the prophets of Baal. So Jezebel sent this message to Elijah: may the gods strike me and even kill me if by this time tomorrow I have not killed you as you have killed them, the prophets of Baal. Elijah was afraid, fled for his life. He went to Beersheba, a town in Judah, and left his servant there. Then he went on alone into the wilderness, traveling all day. He sat down under a solitary broom tree and prayed that he might die. I've had enough, Lord, he said. Take my life, for I am no better than my ancestors who have already died. Now let's pause here for a moment. Isn't that the same Elijah who prophesied that there won't be any rain, not a drop of rain for 4 years, and it was so? Isn't that same Elijah that called down fire from heaven that came down and consumed and destroyed everything that the prophets of Baal had? Here in this passage, we find a new Elijah. An Elijah who is full of fear. Fear can stop us from knowing who we are. Fear can stop us from hearing the voice of God. Isn't that crazy? When in 2020, when 2020 hits, the very first thing that came in was fear, right? And guess what happened? All of a sudden, people, chaos came. People stopped hearing the voice of God. We start hearing the voice of everybody else, but the voice of God. Soon you find Christians that totally forgot who they were in Christ. We start forgetting all of this, and we start embracing this spirit of fear. That's why the word says that, for God has not given us a spirit of fear. The reason why God says that, because he doesn't want you to develop this spirit of fear that will rob you of who you are, that will make you stop hearing his voice. Because fear has this ability to stop you from hearing the voice of God. And also in that same passage, we find a human Elijah. An Elijah who is tired. Who's tired. See, the journey of faith is a very rewarding journey. Very rewarding journey. But it is also a tiresome journey. Faith can drain you physically, emotionally, and spiritually. Because you don't live on the mountaintops all the time. I wish it was true where we could ride high every single time. But we must come down to the valley. And being down in the valley is not necessarily a bad thing. When you have a norm in your life, it's not necessarily a bad thing. Because you can't live on top all the time. In fact, you grow the most in the valley. That's your norm. That's the place where you find that level plateau of where you need to be. That's where you grow. You have those peaks, but you must always come back down where you get tired. And the most spiritual thing that you can do when you get tired is rest. That's the most spiritual thing you can do, is just lay down. The Greek word here is nap. We're going to get very deep here this morning. We got to take a nap. When you get tired, you rest. You take a nap. And in fact, right after this service, I'll be working on that. I'll be very spiritual after this service. I'm going to eat. And I'm going to take a nap. The most spiritual thing you can do in a time when you feel down and depressed, just take a chill pill. Go lay down. Get a rest. My family would say, eat something. And then go take a nap. This is what Elijah did. He said in verse 5, then he laid down and slept under a broom tree. As he was sleeping, an angel came and touched him and told him, get up and eat. Isn't that amazing? I mean, the angel showed up and said, get up and eat something. He looked around, and there beside his head, he saw some bread baked on hot stones and a jar of water. So he ate and drank and lay down again. He got the message, man, I gotta rest. So he laid down again. Then the angel of the Lord came again and touched him and said, get up, eat some more, or the journey ahead will be too much for you. So he got up, ate, and drank, and the food gave him enough strength to travel 40 days and 40 nights to Mount Sinai. He went to Mount Sinai, the mountain of God. There he came to a cave where he spent the night. 40 days and 40 nights he traveled. Was he traveling just wandering in the wilderness? No, I believe he was on a journey. He knew exactly where he was going. In fact, the angel testified to that and actually said, on this journey where you're heading, it's going to be way too much for you. If you don't stop, you don't rest, you don't eat,
you won't make it. Because the angel of the Lord knew exactly where Elijah was going. God knew that he was on a journey. He wanted to go to Mount Sinai. It was not a random destination. It was a planned journey. He's heading to Mount Sinai. He's heading to Mount Sinai because he's thinking and he's believing Mount Sinai would be the only place where I would hear the voice of God. He didn't believe that he could hear the voice of God back where he was. Although he's a prophet of the Lord, he's heard, he's experienced what God can do. But at that moment in his life when he was so tired, he started believing that God will stop speaking. All of a sudden, he will not be on the same frequency of the same God who instructed him to speak to King Ahab and say, no more rain, 4 years, I'm out of here. That's all he said. He was a man of very few words, but when he spoke, he said what God wanted him to say. But at this point in his life, he started believing that God will no longer speak to him. And he's heading out to this place called Mount Sinai. Why? Why Mount Sinai? I believe he's going back there because he remembered Moses. He remembered the place where God met Moses. He remembered the place where God had an encounter with Moses. That was the place where smoke came down, where fire came down, where the earth trembled and the people heard the voice of God. He's heading to Mount Sinai because he wants to recreate that experience that Moses experienced. He's believing that if God can speak to Moses at Mount Sinai, I better go to Mount Sinai. But you and I, we know that God can speak to us anywhere. Not even Mount Sinai. We can be driving down the road and you can hear the voice of God. You can be right here in service, right here, right now, sitting at your seat, not even listening to me. But all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit has a way to deposit something in your spirit that could line you up with that same frequency that God is on. That's the way God operates. We don't need to recreate anything to make it God. We don't need to hear a sound of a volcano erupting to know that this is God. We don't need to see the fire to know that it is God. We don't need to hear, to feel the earth shaking to know that it is God. But Elijah is heading out to Mount Sinai because he believes he needs to recreate that Moses experience. He wants to live out some past experience that Moses had. He wants to find and discover the God of Moses instead of the God of Elijah. How many times do we try to do this? Especially if we've been in church for a long time, we remember what we would call the good old days. And we try our very best to recreate those good old days. We try our very best to line up things to make sure that we can hear the voice of God the same way that we heard the voice of God 10 years ago. We try to revive and recreate those past experiences. Recreating those past experiences can only stop us from hearing the voice of God here and now. Because if you try so hard to think about what God said 10 years ago, guess what you're going to do? You're going to forget what God is saying right now. You're going to start trying to experience something that mom and dad experienced long time ago. That grandpa Joe experienced when he came to church. You're going to try to say, I want to meet that God, that same God that met grandpa Joe. But God is saying, I'm here and now. And I want to have an encounter with you. So we don't need to recreate anything that happened in the past. And in verse 9 it says, but the Lord said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? Why are you here at Mount Sinai, Elijah? And Elijah replied, I have zealously served the Lord God Almighty. But the people of Israel have broken their covenant with you, torn down your altars, and killed every one of your prophets. I am the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me too. And in verse 11, the Lord responded. He says, go out and stand before me on the mountain, the Lord told him. And Elijah stood there. The Lord passed by, and a mighty windstorm hit the mountain. It was such a terrible blast that the rocks were torn loose. Can you imagine? That wind that came in was so loud that rocks from the mountain were torn loose and they rolled down. But listen to this. He says, but the Lord was not in it. Physically, he saw, he heard rocks being torn away from the mountain, rolling down. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake. Everything shook. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, there was a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. How many of you would see this, that God was not playing hide and seek with Elijah? God was not trying to play with Elijah's mind and say, I'm going to be here, but I'm going to hide. I'm not going to let you see me. I'm going to go over there. I'm going to hide. I'm not going to let you see me. Hello, Elijah. God is not playing hide and seek. God is not playing hide and seek with us. God wants to be heard. God wants to be seen. He's not trying to hide from us. But Elijah's expectation was only limited to the physical. Because he came here with expectation that he wants to see the same God that Moses experienced. Through the wind, through the earthquake, through the fire. I want to experience that same thing. But God gave him what he was expecting to a certain extent. God allowed him to see the earthquake, the wind. God allowed him to see, to experience the physical manifestation, but kept the spiritual experience. In all of the wind, the fire, and the earthquake, the Lord was not in any one of them. So God kept that spiritual experience away from Elijah because he was trying to teach Elijah something. And I believe God is trying to teach us something. As a body believer, I believe God is trying to teach us how to hear his voice so that we will be able to communicate with him, so that we will be able to fellowship with him, so that he would not be always, I need a pulpit to hear the voice of God. I need a title behind in front of my name to hear the voice of God. I need to hear the voice of God because I'm a child of the living God. And my Father, who is a good Father, wants to communicate with me. Wants to reach down and whisper something to me that will change my life, that would give me direction and what I need to do. That's the type of God that you and I, we serve. Amen. He's not a God that is trying to play hide and seek with us. He wants to be a God that wants to develop a relationship with us. That he wants to whisper down to us and say how much he loves us. Just those beautiful songs that we sang earlier. It's all talking about the relationship that God the Father wants to have with his children. And he's waiting on us to just say, here I am, Lord, speak. The most daring prayer that you said, Zach, was, Lord, speak. I'm here. You speak. And then we take the time to listen. And I believe Elijah was so tired, so drained, that he was not taking the time to just chill and listen. He wanted to see God in everything else, in the physical manifestation. In fact, he wanted the 2x4. That's what he was looking for. He was looking for God to just come and nail him right between the eyes. Then he would wake up and say, oh, that was God. Sometimes God would speak that way. But when he wants to speak something so intimate, something that is worthy for us to stop everything, to hear him, he won't use a 2x4. He will come in and he will whisper something directly right here. He'll come in a way that probably we are not expecting God to speak. And then he goes on, he says, after the fire, there was a sound of a gentle whisper. After all the earthquake, the fire, the wind, there was a sound of a gentle whisper. In verse 13, he says, when Elijah heard it. He didn't hear. He heard all of this. But this whisper caught his attention. When Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his cloak and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. And the voice said to Elijah, what are you doing here? I believe God is asking us that same question here this morning. What are you doing here? What are you doing here? God is asking me that same question. What are you doing here? See, the frequency range of the human ear to be able to hear is between the range of 20 hertz to 20,000 hertz. Anything below 20 hertz is infrasonic. You can't hear it, but it is still a sound. See, the range is 20 to 20,000. Anything below 20 is infrasonic. It's not, you can't hear it, but it is still a sound. Isn't that crazy? This is what they use now in technology when they measure the tremors to see if there's an earthquake coming. That's how they can predict. That's how they can predict if there's a tsunami that's going to come. They measure those tremors that we don't hear, but it is there. It's a sound wave that is there. The frequency is so low, below the 20 hertz. But it's there. It's still a sound. Anything above the range of 20,000 is ultrasonic. Way beyond the range that we can capture. But it is still a sound. You can't hear it, but it is a sound. In fact, they use that kind of technology when they want to blast a kidney stone. They use that ultrasonic sound wave to go in and blast a kidney stone. Or if you have or you're carrying a baby. Ultrasound, right? That ultrasound, you can't hear it. But they can still see inside by the waves that they send. It's still a sound, even though we don't hear it. That's the same it is with the frequency of God's voice. Even though we don't hear it in the physical sense, that doesn't mean that God is not speaking. He is. He's speaking in many frequencies that goes beyond what we can hear with our natural ears. Just because we cannot hear it doesn't mean that it is not a sound. Here in our story, the story that we just read, God spoke with a gentle whisper. A gentle whisper, and Elijah heard it. The Hebrew word for whisper is this. It's damana, which means silence. Silence. God spoke with a silence. In other translation, it says, the sound of silence. That's like an oxymoron, right? How can it be a sound and also be silent? Because they don't go together. Because a sound, you're expecting to hear it. But whisper here means the sound of silence. Isn't that a song, the sound of silence? Somebody got it right. Somebody got it right somewhere that there's such a sound called the sound of silence. Because the whisper can be just a little nudge, right? That's how God would actually speak. Just a little nudge. Just that Holy Spirit that comes in and whispers something that only you can hear. No one else. And all of a sudden you're like, huh, I just felt led to do this. Right? You've used that word here in Christian, you know, in our Christian context. I felt led to do this. I feel like the Holy Spirit is telling me to do this. And you do it. These are the little nudges, the little promptings that we get. Or sometimes it comes in with somebody coming in your path and tell you something out of the blue. And you're like, where did that come from? Well, that was God speaking. Of course, you got to measure it. You got to know. You got to have that relationship with God himself first for you to be able to qualify where that voice is coming. Because there are many voices all around us. Not every one of those voices are God. So you got to be able to use the Holy Spirit, that spirit of discernment, to measure the level of the frequency. Is that a frequency that lines up with the Word of God? Because if it does not line up with the Word of God, it is not God. If it contradicts in any way, any shape, any form, what God says, and you are a child of God, you would be able to decipher that and say, hey, no, that doesn't line up. That doesn't feel right. Even as you're saying that doesn't feel right, it's the Holy Spirit that is coming in and saying, a little dodgy here. Dodgy, is that, well, that's English. Dodgy means like, we don't say that in America, right? Sketchy. I'm trying to look for that word. It's a little sketchy there. In England, we say dodgy. That's a little dodgy. It's a little sketchy. That doesn't sound right. Doesn't feel right. If it doesn't sound right, doesn't feel right, it probably is not right. Then you check what you're hearing with the Word of God. You check that little nudge and you say, is that God nudging me? Or is that something else? Sometimes it's our own insecurity that are creating this feeling inside. And a lot of time we can't just rely on those feelers. Because the feelers could be leading us in the wrong direction. We got to put that covering of the Holy Spirit. That litmus test of the Holy Spirit. That can actually decipher, this is me. And this is not me. I'm in this one, but not in this one. But when we have a relationship with God, we are able to distinguish those frequencies. Sometimes it's a dream. And sometimes it's simply an open door. Last week, Emily Saminsky took a picture. And that's the picture that is up there. That was last week when I was preaching right here. I had no idea that she took this picture. She posted it on Facebook. And I saw that picture and I was like, wow. It spoke to me. See, this is how the Holy Spirit can speak to people. When I saw that picture, it spoke to me. It gave me this message. I didn't hear it through the Holy Spirit directly speaking to me, giving me the words. God used Emily, the words that she posted, the caption that she posted, to speak to me. See, that's a frequency that a lot of time we disregard. But God used a frequency of a Facebook post to speak to me. Isn't that crazy? A lot of time, you know, you hear those things and you read a lot of rubbish on Facebook. But once in a while, there is something worthy out there that speaks right here. And that spoke to me. And this is what she wrote. Emily wrote this. She said, "A symbolic photo of our pastor's message today. A symbolic photo of our pastor's message today." And what really caught my attention is this. Leave the door open for God to speak to you. Isn't that crazy? Leave the door open for God to speak to you. Now, wait a minute. There's more. Invite Him in, then listen. I'm going to let that sink in for just a moment. I want you to think about this, because this is deeper than what we can sense even now. Leave the door open for God to speak to you. Invite Him in and then listen. Invite Him in and listen. This picture gave me the direction for this message. This picture gave me the frequency that I need for this message that I'm delivering today. I've got 3 points that I'm going to make. So if you're taking notes, you can write this down. If you're not taking notes, I want you to write this down. His frequency, number one, is relational. His frequency is relational. Talking about the door in Revelation 3, verse 20. It says, "Look, I stand at the door and knock. I stand at the door and knock." And I want you to picture that cracked open door. God is waiting for you and me to crack open the door. To leave that door open. To invite Him in and listen. It says, "If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and I will share a meal together as friends." God is waiting on you and me to leave that door open. When we hear His voice, come. Come, invite Him in, and He says, "We will share a meal together as friends." God is seeking friendship, friends. God is seeking friendship. It's a relationship that He's seeking, not just to drop in a word and then walk away. What kind of father would do this to his kids? Just dropping a "good job, you're doing great today, see you next week." No, God wants to drop in a word and stay. He wants to abide. He wants to have a relationship. He doesn't want to pat you on the back and then leave you. He wants to come. He wants to dine. He wants to share a meal together as friends. Friendship, relationship. That is the relation. That is the frequency of a whisper. It's relational. It's about relationship. It is not intrusive. God is not going to barge in. He's going to wait upon that invitation. When you invite Him in, He's coming. is coming. You don't need to beg him to come. I'm going to say this again. You don't need to beg God to come. He's just waiting for you to say, Lord, I'm here. I've left the door open for you. Why don't you come in? That's it. He's waiting for that invitation. And he's not never intrusive. As you develop this relationship with him, guess what? No word's going to be necessary. No word's going to be necessary. Just a look. Just a look. Dawn and I, we've been married for 21 years. Over the years, we've developed a frequency of our whisper, where a lot of times words might not be necessary. Just a look, I can tell how she's feeling. Just a look, she can tell how I'm feeling. Just a look. The frequency changes over time as you develop the relationship. God wants to have that same level of relationship with you, where you would be able to recognize the features of his face. When you see him, you know who he is. And I'm not talking about physically. A lot of time we think about seeing God is in the physical sense. It could be. Moses did see the face of God and then could not see anymore, so he covered his face because the glory of God was so strong. But here, what I'm saying is, you can recognize the features of his face. When something does not line up with the features of his face, you know it's not him. Because there could be many faces that can show up and pretend to be God. But when you recognize the features of his face, you would know that this is God and this is not God. Just like when you develop a relationship with someone, when you are intimate with that person and you are able to develop this relationship that goes beyond words. Just a look. Number two is, his frequency is intimate. The frequency of his whisper is intimate. The definition of whisper as a verb is this: to speak very softly, using one's breath without one's vocal cords. Isn't that crazy? When we think about whisper, we think about, hi, could you do this, please? Could you come over here, please? Oh, okay. We think about the vocal cords being used, but the proper definition of the verb to whisper means to speak very softly, using one's breath without one's vocal cords, especially for the sake of privacy. Isn't that what intimacy is about? Where God wants to have a private moment for you. What's true about a whisper is that for you to be able to hear a whisper, you got to get close, right? You got to get close to a person to actually get to hear or to feel that whisper. In James 4, starting with verse 8, it says, come close. Because getting close creates something called intimacy. Right? When you want to get close, when you want to know someone, guess what you do? You get close to that person. You get close to that person. You want to know that person. And you can easily go back to the days when you were dating. If you want to get to know that person, guess what you do? You get close to that person. You don't want to be far apart from that person. You want to get close to that person. Many of you have had long distance relationship. That's hard, right? Where you're far away from each other and you can't have the, you got to close the gap to create that level of intimacy. Where you get to know the person, you got to close the gap. So the word says, come close to God and he will come close to you. In that moment of closeness is where intimacy is developed. That's where you hear God's whisper. But many times when we read that scripture, we stop right there. Come close to God and he will come close to you. And we stop. We stop. We don't go any further than that. Come close to God and he will come close to you. We forget the rest of it. The rest of it is equally important. Because it deals with something called loyalty. You can't just come close to a person and have intimate moments, but then you're not loyal to the person. Meaning you got something on the side. You got something else on the side. You know what I'm talking about. How can you have a moment of intimacy and be close to God when you're embracing a different relationship somewhere else? That's what exactly what the scripture is talking about. It says, wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your heart, for your loyalty is divided between God and the world. Without loyalty, there's no intimacy. I think the world has got that confused. That I can dabble a little bit with church, but I can still embrace the old myself, the old self. I can dabble with, you know, a little bit of the past. You know, I can just, you know, it's not a big deal. It's not a big deal that I do this, those same things that I used to do long time ago. Let me just hold on to that while I still remain close to God. You cannot be close to God and still embrace the world. That's why the scripture is saying, wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your heart, because God is after a closeness where he's looking for people who would be pure. Dedicated unto him. That's the level of intimacy that he wants to have. We are expecting to hear the whisper of God while we are embracing the ways of the world. God is saying, we got to separate yourself from the ways of the world so that you can fully develop this relationship with me, because the frequency of his voice is relational. It's about relationship. And here we're discovering that the frequency of his voice is about intimacy. That requires closeness with him. And that requires loyalty to him. We can't just come to God when it's convenient for us. When it fits in our schedule. When I've got to get something out of it, you know, there's a something there that I can have if I go and have. God wants you to come just because he's a good God. Just because he's a good father. Just like as a good father, you want to hang out with your kids. I develop ways to hang out with my kids. I find out what they like to do, and I do the same. Do the best that I can. I'm an old man. I can't run as fast as they can. But you better believe it. I'm going to be out there and I'm going to do whatever I can. Even if I need to go and come back on the gym, I'm like, knees are hurting, Lindsay. I don't know. Maybe we'll lay off the legwork for one day. But I am willing to sacrifice that, the knees, for relationship with my kids. If I can do this, you know how much more our Father in heaven is willing to do? He sent his Son. He did it all. He sent his Son to die on the cross for you and me so that we can have this intimate relationship. The price has been paid for, like we sang. It's already been paid for. The debt has been paid so that we can have a full-fledged relationship with him. It's that level of intimacy. But that intimacy requires loyalty. And we find this hard to do in this day and age that we're living in. Because we don't want to give our full loyalty to a loving God. We still want to embrace the old. We still want to hang on to this old bag of bones that God is saying, cut that loose. Cut that loose. We want to hold on to the drugs, to the sex, to the alcohol, anything that is trying to slow us down. We want to hold on to it. Here the word is saying, come close to God and I will come close to you. Wash your hands from the old past. Develop a loyalty with me and me alone. Loyalty leads to intimacy. And intimacy leads to the frequency of his whisper. Last point is this. His frequency is approachable. I want you to catch this. His frequency is approachable. God doesn't want you to feel like you can't approach him. A lot of times maybe you've sat in churches where you've heard that God is this old man. He sits right there, he's got a big stick. He doesn't want you to make any noise in the church because he's old. He doesn't want you to come to church and enjoy life and be excited about church. If you come here in this church at Ocean United, and it's your first time here, we are very excited to be in church. We look forward to be here together as a family on Sunday because we get not only to see each other, because once we start talking, we don't stop. Like in the morning when we're gathering around for prayer, which by the way, anybody is invited to come in when we pray at 10 o'clock. It's like we haven't seen each other for a long time. I have to say, stop, guys. We got to pray. Stop talking. But this is the type of relationship that we have. When we get together, we haven't seen each other. But I mean, some of us, we've seen each other last night. We still want to keep talking. It's relational. It's intimate. It's approachable. In Hebrews 4:16, he says, so let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. Come boldly. Boldly means not holding back, just show up. I'm coming boldly. I'm going to come just as I am. I don't need to be dressed up. I don't need to show anything. I just need to be here. Come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. Then we will receive his mercy and we will find grace to help us when we need it the most. The frequency of his whisper is approachable. When God found Elijah, the very first thing that he told Elijah was to get out of the cave. Get out of the cave. Elijah was stuck in that cave. He was going to spend the rest of the night there. God told him in verse 11, says, get out and stand before me on that mountain. Get out and stand before me on the mountain. The word is simple, very deep. Get out of the cave. Get out of the cave. Now I'm going to say something that is very deep theology. So deep that many of you will not get it. There is a Bruno in the cave. Yeah. I think I need to take a little bit of water on that one. There is a Bruno in the cave. If you watch Disney Plus, Luca. There's a scene in Luca. Like I said, it's very deep this morning. Where Alberto, I'm going to put on my Italian hat for a minute. Right, Zach? Zach is Italian, so he knows what I'm talking about here. Where Alberto shows up and Luca is struggling with being in the cave. His cave was insecurity. I'm not going to spoil it for you guys. If you haven't watched Luca on Disney Plus, please do. I'll ask questions next week. Alberto comes out and says to Luca, you got to speak to that Bruno. You have a Bruno inside of you. That Bruno is self-doubt. That Bruno is guilt. That Bruno is shame. That Bruno is condemnation. And from the words of Alberto, he says this, silencio, Bruno. Italian. Silencio, Bruno. I believe many of us, we need to say this. We need to silence the Bruno inside of us. That voice inside of us that says, you can't hear the voice of God. How dare you have a relationship with God, the Father, the creator of everything around you, where you carry this past, where you carry this shame, where you carry this guilt. You should be condemned for having the Bruno inside of you. That's the voice of the enemy. That's the Bruno that we need to silence. And said, no more. I'm a child of the living God. My Father in heaven paid the price by sending his Son to die for me and to give me life and life more abundantly. That's the God that I serve. So silencio, Bruno. From the words of John Donne, an English poet, he wrote this. I neglected God and his angels for the noise of a fly. I neglected God and his angels for the noise of a fly. That was a Bruno. That's a Bruno right there. It's a voice of the enemy that comes to distract you from hearing the true voice of God. And a final word. Then I'm going to practice silence. In verse 13, it says, when Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his cloak and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. And a voice said, what are you doing here, Elijah? What are you doing here? He wrapped his face because I believe God's glory was revealed at that moment when he heard that whisper. It wasn't just a whisper that he heard right here. God's glory was wrapped around that whisper. What are you doing here, Elijah? I believe God was just saying this. Elijah, are you prepared to meet the God of Elijah? Are you prepared to meet the God of Elijah and not the God of Moses? Because on his way there, he was trying to meet the God of Moses. But what are you doing here, Elijah? God was saying, Elijah, would you let go of Moses' experience through the wind, through the fire, through the earthquake? Would you have a meeting with me and know me as your God? Would you please stand? I believe God is asking us the same question here this morning. Why are you here? Why are you here? Put your name right at the end. Why are you here, Peter? Why are you here, Zach? Why are you here, John? Why are you here, Richard? Why you here, Jake? Why you here, Chris? Why you here, Ashley? Why you here? Why you here? God is saying, are you ready to meet your God? Father, we thank you. We thank you for this whisper today. We thank you, Lord, that you spoke to us. That you are, throughout this week, you're going to continue to speak to us. Lord, we've left the door open. We've left the door open just for you. Lord, we now invite you in. Come and speak to us now. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 God bless you guys. I know you got plans today. Sun is shining. Take a little time to greet somebody on your way out. Get connected with somebody. If you have not filled out a connect card, right in front of you, there's a connect card. Fill it out and put it in the box. God bless.